So as we take a look, today's message, we were in a time last time we started, it was self-discipline to be useful. Last time we were together, we were taking a look at resilience to be useful, working through hard times. And now we're looking at today's message, as you can see on your note card, be truthful to be useful. Be truthful to be useful. So Lord, thank you for opening our hearts and allowing us to see some things. Lord, because whenever your word is open to us, our hearts and our minds just feel so much more at peace. So let there be a real significant presence. Lord, we long for your presence. We look forward to your time with us. And we thank you now for doing just that in Jesus' name. Be truthful to be useful. We're living in a day where truth is in short supply. Seems like we can't really trust the truth coming from the media. Politicians can't necessarily be truthful. This whole past series of COVID and the pandemic was certainly less than truthful. We're not quite sure. This seems like the narrative gets changed, and that all of a sudden the tragedy with that is that in society, if people aren't being truthful, we are lacking integrity, that we really don't have what we're needing in society. I think it's catastrophic. The consequences where integrity is not really happening, honesty is not happening, it is really some days of uncertainty. When we look here at the definition of integrity, it is this. It says, integrity is the practice of being honest and showing a consistent and uncompromising adherence to strong moral principles. So the key to integrity, we could literally say, is honesty, to be truthful. And it's more than just telling the truth. I'm just going to tell the truth. The truth meaning, basically, is that you have a person whose life is walking with integrity and it backs up their moral standard, their moral confidence. That's important. Does what that person say, is it backed up with what they feel as their own moral convictions? I have a conviction. So when we look here at this, for example, you could see if a person would say, well, I've got a conviction that gossip is wrong, and then you go on their social media platform and they're blasting some things in a negative way about somebody out to the public, naturally that's a double standard. That's not what we want to see happening. But the Bible does talk the value of integrity. And let me just show you here in Proverbs chapter 10, verse 9. Let's lay a couple of scriptures out. New Living Translation, you at home, but keep tabs with us and watch how we go. So Proverbs 10, 9 says this, people with integrity walk safely, but those who follow crooked paths will be exposed. So it's easy to see those lies as well. Let's just move down to verse 29 in Proverbs 10, 29. It says, the way of the Lord is a stronghold to those with integrity, but it destroys the wicked. I like also, if you were to look at chapter 20, again, Proverbs 20, verse 7, the godly walk with integrity, blessed are their children who follow them. I just like that verse because integrity has generational implications to your children, to your grandchildren. I like it when I feel like, man, I know what the playing field is. Let's be true. I think children feel the same way, don't you? And they realize, man, I know what dad stands for. I know what mom stands for. So how do we develop this kind of character quality of integrity? Be truthful to be useful, especially with God, but how about so with our society? Number one, let's take a look at our notes. Take some notes and take it into your life group. Make a commitment to objective truth. What do we mean by that? Well, objective truth literally at one time used to just be plain truth. But objective truth is truth that is true to everyone, whether a person agrees with it or not. But it's objective truth that is true. So that's important when we take a look at that, because in dealing with objective truth, there's something that is opposite called subjective truth. That's what you and I would say, that is someone's opinion. A subjective truth would be, I feel that a 1966 Ford Mustang is the most amazing, best car ever made. That's a subjective truth. You can literally say that's the person's opinion. It cannot be proven. It can only be substantiated or opposed by somebody else's feedback. But subjective truth out there is happening, and what's taking place over the really the last 3 years, they don't really necessarily call it subjective truth, though that's what it is, or it's my opinion. They don't say that. It's now my truth. This is my truth. This is how I feel about something. So objective truth is giving way to everybody feeling a particular pattern or a particular way. Remember, we're dealing with to be truthful, to be useful. And so our point is make a commitment to objective truth. But if integrity is possible, it's going to really need a standard. It's going to be very difficult in our society moving forward. We've already seen it. When people are moving in subjective truth or their opinion or what they're saying, my truth. Can you imagine going into a relationship, say, well, that's my truth, well, that's my truth. Or a business deal, well, that's my truth, well, that's my truth. This is how I feel. It'd be very difficult to deal with the culture or politics or areas of even our schools. Everybody has a particular opinion. So we have to say, I'm going to base my commitment on objective truth. You can imagine, for example, pull out my trusty little measuring tape. If we started a building project and we have a group of people coming in with different forms of measuring, but we have one project, you can imagine how difficult that would be to say, I'm not going to use that measuring. I'm going to use mine. And that's what makes our society so complicated. Everybody is landing on what they think their subjective truth really is. So the key to integrity is really honesty, but it's a moral conviction. And I'm just saying, wouldn't it be great that we have objective truth, truth that is for everybody? There was a time that objective truth was really kind of a given. One in particular is that God exists. Everybody, by and large, believe that God existed at one time. Some say he doesn't, but now it's like, well, if you feel he does or not. So how can we be people of integrity? You may want to just write this down. We're just going to throw that out. A couple of verses. I would say agree with God's truth. Wouldn't that be exciting? God has something to say about everything. He's got an opinion in there. So objective standard would be God's truth. I like what Psalm 86, verse 11 says. It says, teach me your ways, O Lord, that I may live according to your truth. I'll tell you, it's very helpful when a person feels like, oh, that's a standard I want to relate to. I want to understand. I like the fact Psalm 119, verse 60 says this, 160 that is. The very essence of your words is truth, and all your just regulations will stand forever. It's pretty impressive. I like the fact, and Jesus was the one on Mount Olivet when he said in Matthew 24, 35, heaven and earth's going to pass away one day. All your rewards, everything's going to pass away, but my word shall never pass away. So it's an amazing book we have. It's just absolutely fascinating to me because it's an eternal book. It really is a supernatural power that transforms people, transforms families. Something about this book is incredible, and it really does set us apart from everybody else on this planet. And you and I know we've been enjoying our journey with our discipleship courses, but this book was put together by 40 different authors. 40 different authors, many of them not even knowing the other would exist, but there's such a continuity from cover to cover, and it all seems to be about Jesus. And I like the fact that it's really a love story to you. God spent considerable time and investment to get a message of his love to you. And what a great book. So this is not like a Reader's Digest. And I like when John chapter 17, verse 17, says this about his disciples, make them holy by your truth. Teach them your word, which is what? truth. So, man, if I'm going to be a person of integrity, I've got to base it on something. And if there is truth out there, God's word says, man, here it is. Here's the standard. It's important. How did we get that book, that 40 different authors? We do like the fact, if you've been with our Wednesday Reaching for the Crown course, and Ainsley's just crushing it on how these things come about. But look at 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16. It says this, all scripture is inspired by God. All scripture is inspired by God. I'm telling you, there's been some brilliant minds that have gone after this book, tried to discredit it, disprove it, and here it is today. It's amazing. But it goes back and it says, all scripture is inspired by God and is useful to teach us what is true and to make us realize what is wrong in our lives. It corrects us when we are wrong and teaches us to do what is right. God uses it to prepare and equip his people to do every good work. Wow, that's pretty rich, pretty wonderful to be able to see something like that. So I just want to nail this particular point. It's so important, especially in our settings of our society. So where do you get your truth? Do you, some people, might believe the lie that you set the standard for what you believe, that you have an opinion that becomes your truth? But for those that are going to say, well, if I can make up a standard, where do I make my decision? I just want you to know it sure be good. Get into the Word of God. Read the Bible. Let God speak some things to you. Matter of fact, if you don't have time or are disinterested in the Word, there's always the Ten Commandments. Ten Commandments really set society, make it more civilized. The Ten Commandments found in Exodus 20. First four deal with our relationship with God. The latter six dealing with our relationship with man. Then Jesus comes on the scene and says, let's cut it down to two. Love God and love your neighbor as you love yourself. You'll keep them all. So with that, it's going to be important. Secondly, if we were to consider saying, well, I want the Word to be more of a direction giver, provider for me to walk in the truth, then be willing to be submissive to it. In other words, wouldn't it be great? There's no point in going after something if we refuse to use it. It's nice to use the Word and to say, man, I'm going to apply it and see what happens. That's the beauty. That's why we say obedience equals blessing. Can you just say that with me? Obedience equals blessing. Just try what you feel God is speaking to you about and then see what the results are. Be careful, there'll be a lot of conflict if you're not used to applying God's word. So, how wonderful. Now, and the other thing is about this standard of truth is that you must realize that we are not going to be judged based on my truth or our subjective truth or our opinion. That's not going to be the standard when we cross over to the other side. Jesus says it's going to be this truth we're trying to encourage one another on, and it's in John 12, verse 48. Let me just read that. We'll throw that up there as well, 12, 48. But all who reject me and my message will be judged on the day of judgment by the what? By the truth I have spoken. So you take a look. Jesus is pretty clear on what the subjective truth is and what is the expectation of that. Wow, that's an important, just like a clarion call, it's important that we get a chance to consider that. So I agree with God's word being the truth. I'm going to follow his word. And I would just want to add one last thing, because we're looking at be truthful to be useful, walk in that area of integrity. I would say be careful to resist allowing our feelings to determine truth. If you're not used to saying, I don't know if I've ever kind of applied that, then I would say most people are used to responding to their emotions. We live in a society that's given authority to feelings. Therefore, that's how we come about. Well, it's my truth. This is the way I feel. It's my truth. That's our society. You're coming out of that society. That's how we've been kind of raised. So when we take a look and understand that, the example would be you're coming on a Sunday and you say hello to someone and they blitz right past you without saying anything. And your feelings rise up and you say, that person's a jerk. Isn't it amazing how our feelings can cause a conclusion? And that's how people might come to some point, and we have to be careful. We allow our emotions to dictate what we feel is true, how much we allow fear or anxiety or anger or disappointment or heartache, or we just determine that I'm going to believe this because this is how I feel. Now, we don't want to eliminate emotions. They're very real. I'm just saying, don't let them become your truth. You're feeling that way, but the conclusion that you and I might come to, it's like, Lord, that's why I want to pray. I'm feeling this way very strongly, and I'm about ready to make a decision, but should I? So, Lord, help me with that. I like here, and our emotions are very important, but look at Proverbs chapter 5, verse 5, which says very clearly, it's a familiar verse, two verses. Proverbs 3, 5, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Do not depend on your own understanding. Seek his will in all you do, and he will show you which path to take. I like that. I have found that to be true. Oh, I rely upon him. Because my emotions can and have taken me in some wrong directions. The New American Standard Bible verse has Proverbs 28:26 that literally just says this, he who trusts in his own heart is a fool. So it's just something where when we start to have a relationship with Jesus, remember how he called his disciples, hey, come follow me. But sometimes we kind of change shifts and we say, no, Jesus, you come follow me. This is how I'm praying. This is what I want to do. So it's going to be important. Integrity is possible. And impossible, though, as long as we give authority to our feelings. Just consider that with me. Number two, let's move on, and we're going to enjoy these balanced ones, too. Number two, be truthful with yourself. I'm telling you, who would be the one that we would possibly lie to the most? Don't keep looking straight ahead. We lie to ourselves the most. If we're going to really walk in integrity, walk in truth, sometimes we have to almost be brutally honest to just say, wow, this is what I'm dealing. That's why it's so important, because we need to consider that we could have blind spots. It's going to be important for us to consider that. Now, we all have blind spots. We just don't know what they are, or else they wouldn't be a blind spot. Isn't that true? It's like, I know I have some. And it's important that it's what we might consider in areas like, how come I feel like there's things hindering my growth or my relationships in life or my transformation? I feel like I'm the same person I was 5 years ago. So since everybody has blind spots, boy, I'm grateful for those people that genuinely and gingerly said, hey, Paul, because I was not, and at times, realized I need some help on that. So how do you find to be truthful with yourself, identify those blind spots? You can just write them down. I would ask God. Isn't that nice? God, is there anything in me that you feel could possibly be a deterrent with me walking out in prosperity and success? Take a look. I like what Psalmist says in 139, verse 23. It says, search me, O God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. Point out anything in me that offends you, and lead me along the path of everlasting life. So not just a quality of life, but a quantity, everlasting life. I do like the fact the New American Standard again in Psalm 51:6 says, behold, you desire truth in the innermost parts. So just want to add, integrity, as we're taking a look, be truthful, to be useful by God. And boy, everybody else will want to utilize us as well, but integrity is built upon truth. So I would just say, ask God. And for guys, this is really important because I find that for us as men, we often will hide our stuff. And I'm sure glad 24 of us are going on to men's retreat this coming weekend. Yeah. Thank you for your prayers. We're going to have a great time having transparency. But you know, the Lord just knows. And he's just such a good spiritual surgeon on stuff. I want to go up there and have all that God has for me. I don't want to leave anything back. So number two, not only ask God, but just write down, ask others. The reality about blind spots, those around you. And make sure you have a person who's filled with integrity too. You just know they're not going to pray it out loud that, hey, I just want you to know what Paul's been up to and Lord heal him. Ouch. Anyway, but it's going to be important that you get a chance to ask people. And don't react when they bring something up. Don't blame it on your relatives. Don't bring it up to you. Just talk to me. Do you see anything that's not right? Because I really want to embrace the truth. Number three, on your notes, you can see it there. Be truthful with others. We only have 3 points. I'm certainly hitting a few more. But be truthful with others. That's an important one. That's really where I find where the rubber meets the road. If we're going to grow in character quality of integrity. I'll tell you, the world lacks integrity, friends. The world lacks it. And I think God's really just saying, I know that person's heart. It may be riddled with mistakes, but I can use that person. And if we're going to be one that God uses, following Jesus, we must be sold out to integrity. Lord, I want to do what's right. So before we dive into a deeper understanding, let's see what the Word says, how important that is. If you see in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 15, says, instead, we will speak the truth in love, growing in every way more and more like Christ. If you look at that verse, being truthful is connected to us growing more like Jesus. I like that, don't you? I want to be like Jesus. I want to be truthful. And then I was just hit between the peepers when I read Zechariah chapter 8, verse 7. When God says this, don't scheme against each other. Stop your love of telling lies that you swear are the truth. I hate all those things, says the Lord. So only he would know. He's my one and only audience I really do want to perform for, if I were to say it that way. So I'm sure no one is surprised that God hates dishonesty. But basic understanding of not lying is I want to be a person of integrity. That's our message. So what does being truthful with others look like? I'm glad you asked. Here it is. These are people you want to hang out with. But number one, we tell the truth. Letter A. Can you see that? Purposefully withholding some truth so that it benefits us or that we conceal maybe certain things. That's not really being truthful. So some people, we have to be careful who we tell all the truth to, but tell the truth. Letter B, we admit when we do not know something. I don't know if you've ever kind of bluffed your way through because nobody wants to be shown as you're ignorant of something. Or do you know a person that has an opinion for everything? And it's like, we probably know a few of those. We call them know-it-alls. But I have found the older I get, it's so refreshing to say, I just don't know the answer on that one. It's really great. And matter of fact, many of you have brought good messages when you've asked me certain things. That's a good topic. I'm sure the Bible has a great understanding what to say about that. So let's look at letter C. We admit when we are wrong. Now, I'm sure we make mistakes. Isn't it nice to know when we say, I was wrong? Matter of fact, let's just try it. Would you turn to somebody near you, look at them and say, I was wrong? Yeah, good job. Yeah. Yeah, sure. Now the other person looked back at him and says, I knew it. Yeah, that's all. Just, I knew it. And then add, I forgive you. So, do you trust them if they never say that they were wrong? Oh, that really, that's a hard one. I didn't do it. It's not my fault. So I find that people that are coming along and say, you know, I really gummed up the works, and it's all, at least 30% my fault. I can trust that person because at least they may be hearing from God. It's a person that hasn't repented in years that I realize they're not hearing from the Lord. Letter D, couple more. If we say we'll do something, we follow through. Even if that is just going to cost you something of a conflict, follow through, or say, I was wrong to volunteer. Just being a person like that, that is such an essential in marriage. It's such an essential in the workplace. You say you're going to do something, follow through. Do I get somebody say amen?
Amen.
And finally, I'm willing, letter E, I'm willing to be emotionally honest. And I added the word emotionally, because if somebody really is saying, how are you doing? You say, I'm fine. And you're not. That's dishonesty. You might just say, I'm not really doing well. Can I have 30 minutes of your time? You probably say, no, I want to be honest back. But at least you're honest. And I think that honesty opens the door for God to bring a miracle. And especially when we do our prayer wall ministry. Wouldn't it be great to say, you know, I'm going to come up. That doesn't mean somebody's coming up for prayer has an issue. They could be standing in the gap for somebody else that they know. So be careful about drawing a conclusion to people, letting your feelings address that, or causing you to miss out on a blessing by coming up and being prayed for. Well, I hope you'll enjoy that. We're going to really see God do some great things, because I'm confident God's going to expand your sphere of influence as you say, Lord, I really do want to be used. You're helping me with my self-discipline. You're helping me work through the resilience of just working through some hard stuff. And finally, Lord, I'm sure grateful. I know when I'm not being adequately truthful, it grieves me. That must be your Holy Spirit when I feel just kind of an ache inside. I want to change. Let's go ahead and close our Bibles. Let me pray with you. Would you join by standing to your feet right now with me? Let's stand up. Father, we want to ask right now, you know us, and you know each one of us so intimately, and you still love us. Even when we weren't that interested in you, you still love us. So, Lord, we can say someone else really needs to hear this, but we're here today. And what we gathered with our minimal maybe understanding, Lord, I'm praying over each and every one of us. That's where you're going to start working by your grace. Something brought that just is a weak link in our strength. Lord, would you do a great miracle? Would you remind us moving forward with this week that that's where you're going to address, or bring healing, and then make our weakness one of our strengths. We claim 2 Corinthians 12:9 that says, I'm going to boast in my weakness that the glory of Christ can be seen in me. So Lord, we're weak. We certainly deal with weak people. There's no way we can judge each other because we are so susceptible. But Jesus, we embrace you. We know this since you know us. You know what our future holds. Lord, lead us in that. Would you just even ask the Lord quietly in your own heart, Lord, lead me in the future you have. I'm done doing my own thing. And to God be the glory. Whatever I am facing or the uncertainty of my future, Lord, would you be glorified in it, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. We're going to have Pastor Sean lead us in a song, and then he's going to come. What a great day. Thank you, everybody, for coming. So grateful, so grateful. I want to thank you for joining us today at Hope Chapel, Huntington Beach. It's our desire to bring the teachings of this church to others globally. If today's message has brought you closer to Jesus, we want to know. Can you send us an email to office@hopechapelhb.org? Would you consider supporting this ministry financially? You can give securely online at hopechapelhb.org/give. If a check is your preferred method, you can send a mailed check to Hope Chapel, P.O. Box 548, Huntington Beach, California, 92648. If you want to be contacted by Hope Chapel, would you consider subscribing to our weekly newsletters at hopechapelhb.org/subscribe. Whatever season of life you're in, we want to go through it with you. We want to thank you once again for joining us, and God bless you.